got you a singing preacher. That's good, isn't it? He may not be able to play golf, but it sounds like he can sing anyhow. And I don't know about this golfing thing. Now, I can see just a little bit better than I could last year when I was here. I'm still legally blind. Thank God it's legal. And but now most of you, when I get 3-4 feet away, I could tell whether the man or woman and visit with you and enjoyed that. What a good crowd here tonight. I tell you, I'm just so proud of your preacher. You know, this may sound odd, but listen why I say this. Your pastor, Brother Jenkins, one of my heroes. Well, you say, Brother John, you're old enough to be his dad. I probably am, but he's one of my heroes. You know why? Because he took a great church and he honors the man that God used before him and still adding the new and going right on for the Lord. I love that. That's a hero to me, buddy, I tell you. And so I honor to be here. Now, my dear wife with me too, oh, she loved me, I love her, and we have such a good time together. And they told me when I got meningitis almost 15 years ago, they said, if he lives, he'll be a vegetable. And my Donna says he's not a vegetable, but he is a nut. But we brought in a few things that we have that we sell, and the money goes in ministry. And we have my testimony and book, God is So Good, Especially When Hurting. We have some new things. Now, one of the old things we brought back with us is the Be of Good Cheer book. If you know somebody depressed or discouraged, then that book would be for somebody like that to be a help to them. And but some of the new things that we have a little booklet that'll fit right in the shirt pocket. I wish every man and teenage boy, every wife and every mama ought to buy for your teenage son or wife this little book called The Winning Team. I took a little ragtag group of boys from a Christian school that we had in our church that I used to pastor and took them up to Kansas City in the national tournament up there, and we won that thing. We whipped everybody. Only had 7 boys on the team. 2 sit on the bench and 5 played in the game, and I had one rule. I said, if any of you starters foul out, I'm gonna kill you. Now that's what I'm gonna do. And I'll hide the body somewhere, but don't you foul out. And because the other 2 backup, they couldn't hardly play at all. And but I saw 2 things, a weakness in that team we played, and I hit that weak points. And it's a points that the devil hits every man with, young and old, at some time or other, how to be on God's winning team. I wish you get that. We have some book on dress. I wanted to put out a book that dealt with the dress issue in a kind way. Really, Brother Jenkins, you know Brother Sexton has a book on dress. Have you seen that book on dress? Now, I can barely make you out, so just say yes or no if you've seen it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you know it amazing how my book and his book are so much alike? It really is. I go into a little more history of it. But listen to me, folks. Love your preacher. And when he preach on these things that need to be dealt with, listen to me. We can't let the world have their say-so and everything. We need to lovingly help people know the right thing to do. Amen? And so, now, and then I would, every teen, I would want to read that book, Real Teens. Hope for Real Teens. Oh, what a wonderful testimony. I didn't write that book, but some men put it together who are friends of mine, and it will encourage any teenager there is. I guarantee you that. So DVDs and CDs, things, and that's all I'll say about them, but I thought they might be a blessing. Now, let me just say this. If there's somebody here tonight, you're hurting, you're discouraged, you're depressed, but you don't have the money for one of those books that you need back there, you just tell my wife and it's free to you, all right? I would never withhold something somebody needs just because they don't have money. You say, Brother John, people liable to take advantage. That's all right. And Lord, I want to make sure I help people that are hurting. That my ministry. Now, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I hope this is my water. It is now. Now, for some of you that not heard me before, I wear dark glasses because I have a condition called cluster migraine headaches. They will last weeks at a time. And most platforms where you preach, there's a lot of light. Needs to be a lot of light on the where you can read and see and get around. But those cause my headaches to be even more severe, so I have to wear the dark glasses. I'm not trying to be a movie star. I just have to have dark glasses on. These have readers on the bottom, and I take those readers, and now with a page magnifier, I'm able to read my scripture pretty good now and get along that way. So that's why. But the meningitis robbed me of all my memory. I don't remember a thing past October 1995. Everything that I know is what I've learned in these last 14 and a half or so years. And so that's why I'm not very smart. I've had to relearn everything. And my dear wife, her name Donna, but I call her my Donna. She's so good to me. And the reason that is, I even forgot her. I forgot her name. I forgot my own name, forgot my children's name. And so she was reintroducing herself, and she said, "You're John and I, Donna, and we're married." I didn't know what married meant, but boy, howdy, I sure glad when I found out. And so she said, "Well, that means you belong to me and I belong to you." And that's when I said, "You my Donna?" And she said, "Yes." And that's what I call her ever since, is my Donna. And boy, she good to me. My blindness, let me tell you a little funny thing happened. I was in a church, I believe in Connecticut, where it was. And I was there, and the pastor said, "Brother John, the teenagers would like to shake your hand." And I said, "Well, great." He said, "I'm going to get them lined up here." I was standing in back. And so I shaking hands, ask them how old, what grade, and things like that, you know. And I shook the hand, and I said, "Now, how old are you?" And it was quiet. And this lady said, "Brother John, it isn't polite to ask a lady her age." "Oh," I said, "I'm sorry, but how much do you weigh?" I thought I'd done blowing. I might as well go ahead. But here in Psalm 118, if you will notice in verse 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place." Now, isn't that an unusual answer to prayer in distress? In distress, I called upon the Lord, and he didn't say the Lord took away the problems. One of my great privileges of preaching happened to me just a few weeks ago, when Dr. Sexton gave me the privilege to preach to I don't know how many teenagers at their youth congress on Friday night. That was one of great privileges to me, Brother Jenkins, because I hold that man in high esteem, I do. And let me tell you something. I have preached to more people since October 1995 Matter of fact, 1 year I probably preached more people than I had all earlier years of ministry combined. You know what God did when I cried out in distress? He put me in a large place. He put me in a large place. What God's answer was not to heal, but God's word, expand my ministry. Let me speak more people. My DVD called Laughing and Learning with Brother John. I tell you, I have a good time. But you know, the Lord is good. Let them now that fear the Lord say, His mercy endureth forever. God is good and His mercy lasts forever. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Oh, I'm sitting on a plane and I try to always say a word for the Lord to those sit beside me. Now, I ask God to let agnostics and atheists and just people sit beside me like that because they're trapped. They don't have a chance. Now, one of these days, I'm going to aggravate the wrong one. They're going to throw me out of a plane, and I just hope they give me a parachute when they do. But I'm sitting, Brother Jenkins, next to this lady who have a double PhD. Now, boy, howdy, I don't even have one of them, much less two of them. And this woman, I won't give her name, but she was sitting there, and I began to talk to her about the Lord. And she didn't mind me believing in God. She didn't mind me believing in Jesus. But, buddy, she did not like it when I said, Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Now, that made her mad. That's the way the world is. But listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to heaven than through Jesus Christ. The world can say what they want, but there's only one way. God made heaven and put one door in it, and door, Jesus Christ, that who is. And I just thank God for that. Well, this woman, she was so mad. I've never had anybody sit by me so mad. Now, this is when I could see. I've just dealt with the blindness for 3 years now. But this was when I could see. I saw vessels in her neck were bulging. She was talking and spit hitting me in the side of my face. And she said, what right does Jesus have to exclusivity? Well, now, my Don has taught me a lot of words, but that wasn't one she taught me yet. So I said to the lady, I said, ma'am, if you'll tell me what that word means, I'll try to answer it for you. And she said, well, that means he has the right to say, I am the only one. I have exclusive rights to this, and nobody else have it. Oh, I said, that answer easy. I said, listen to me, ma'am. He said before he died, 3 days, I'll get up out of the grave. Now listen, when you can die and get up out of the grave, you make your own rules, amen. I remember, she said, oh, I bet you're one of those that believe God made the world in 7 days. And I said, no, really, I believe he did it in six, and he rested on the seventh. That riled her up a little bit. And here was the funny thing. She was traveling to see a mother who was ill, and she didn't ride the plane very much. Matter of fact, she's quite scared of riding airplane, and she could not get her peanuts open. I've got mine open, and I'm eating them, and she handed me her peanuts and said, would you please open these? And I said, sure, and I'm smiling and thinking Miss PhD needs help with her peanuts. But is God good or what? I believe God have a sense of humor too, don't you? Now, hear me. We all are going to face trials. We all are going to face difficulties in our Christian life. We're going to do that. Up there at the tent meeting on Thursday afternoon, that tent blowed down. Thank God nobody under it, because Brother Dewey said he never seen it pull up out of the ground like it did. Every stake but one was pulled right out of the ground and the tent laid flat. Oh, if we'd have been under that thing, no doubt somebody would have been hurt. But nobody was under it. And it just made a couple tears about that long and didn't rip it all to pieces. We met the last two nights there at Brother Cook's church there that's not far from where the tent set up. And we had one of the biggest Friday night crowds that we've ever had before. Their balcony two-thirds full. And God just good to bless. And I'm just telling you that doesn't mean you get insurance policy, nothing go wrong when you get saved. Let's just say God did this. Now, he hasn't done it, but let's just say he did it. Let's just say God made this deal. I'm going to give you 70 years of nothing but suffering. That all I'm going to get for 70 long years. But at the end of that 70 long year, I'm going to give you heaven, and it'll be all the beauties and wonderful things that I describe and tell you about in the book. John just got to see the city. I don't know what the countryside looked like. Now, let me say to you, if God made a deal like that, I think that'd be a pretty good deal. But God has said this. Any trials you go through, and nobody, that all there is. I'm going through a difficulty right now. Friday, if you can think to pray for Brother John Friday, they're going to put a pain pump in me because of my back. Dr. Sexton and I have had the same back surgeon work on our back, and I've got a rod in my back, but my doctor in Arkansas, Little Rock, he just doesn't feel like my bones would handle another rod, so he thinks the best avenue of approach to help me with the pain in my back and legs would be a pain pump. They put it under the skin, and it shoots the medication right into the source of the pain, right there where the spinal cord is. And so I'm coming off the road to have that done this coming Friday, and if you would pray for me, I would sure appreciate it mighty lot. I really would. Now, let me tell you something. Through all trials that I've had, the cluster migraine headaches, they start in and they'll last 6 weeks or so, and by the time one finishes, another start. I don't want you to take that as complaint, because here, why? God has been there, and special blessing of his presence in everything I go through. Everything. And then on top of that, I get heaven too. Isn't that a good deal? My goodness. Now, I don't know what you're going through in your life right now, but I know this, that if you know Christ is your personal Savior, what a joy it is to know he's with you every moment, every day. And then, one of these days, he'll take you up to glory. Oh, I just love the Lord. I love my Donna. Did I tell you I love my Donna? Oh, boy, I do love her. I sure do. Now, especially now that I'm blind, when I go to kiss her, I miss her lips. But I kiss till I find them, I'll tell you that. I'm not going to give up. And I remember a lot of people, you know, they think if you're a Christian and you really live close to God and you love God, that sort of bad things won't happen to you. That's not what the Bible teaches. You see, the Word of God never say that. That's what charismatic preachers say. I wouldn't make a good charismatic preacher talk. I would, because God hasn't healed me of many of things that happened and started back in October 95. But I want you to know God has helped me. He's been there. So happened, I was pastoring a local fundamental Baptist church when this happened to me. And there in Rosebud, Arkansas, is where our youth camp. We had about 1,900 kids this past summer, our 35th anniversary, Brother Jenkins. They said I started it 35 years ago. I don't remember doing, but glad I did. And We have a bunch of youngins that come out there. It's a joy. It's a blessing. But I was pastoring a little church. Probably the size of my church, Brother Jenkins, would fit right in your middle row. Right in this center aisle. That probably we'd all fit right in there. And Rosebud is a little town, 429 when everybody home. We're about 10 miles from the biggest city. 10 miles is only 5,000 people there. But I didn't have regular insurance. I was with a Christian medical share program, and it's not regular insurance, but they all would send their money into headquarters, and then if somebody got put in the hospital, they would all share in that. Now, there's some very good ones out there right now, but this was back in early days. This was one of the first ones, and they didn't have some of the safeguards. And the man that had started that, that we were all sending our money to in that headquarters, took off with $2 million. And left people like me and other families. I had just gotten out of the hospital from meningitis. And I tell you, it takes a lot of money to keep somebody alive who had meningitis. And we had all these doctor bills. But I want you to know how faithful God is. We couldn't pay them off in our ability, but we just set up payment for each one of them. We said, we'll send you $10, $15, you $20, or you $15, $20, and we set it all up. We said, now, if you won't take us to court, we promise no matter how long it takes, we'll pay you off. Just give us time. Now, my Donna and I never robbed God of a tithe and an offering and missions to our church. We never took any of that money. We believed that belonged to God. But we used whatever else left to pay these bills. And it took us 5 years, but we got them all paid off. And God's been good to help us take care of those medical needs. And even though I'm one of those with what we'd call pre-existing condition once you've had brain damage. But God has taken care. I asked my wife one time, I said, are we poor? And she said, no, we're just broke. I'd rather be broke than poor because you can get over it easier. But I want you to know that we stayed faithful to God, and God stayed faithful to us. Churches are good to us. I would never want a poor mouth. You know, Brother Jenkins, one thing I don't like is a poor mouthing preacher, like, oh, poor me, you know. God hadn't been good. Listen, God been good to me. He's taken care of needs that people wouldn't even imagine. How did you get through that? Just keep on keeping on being faithful to God. And God will take care of those things. But I know how it is. Some of you, the distress you're feeling right now and the hurt you're going through is a financial thing. That can be very real. I know it can. Some of you, it's a physical thing. That can be very real. I know it can. Some of you, it's an emotional, spiritual burden that you're carrying. Those can be very real. I've had those as well. When somebody in your family and somebody, maybe not in close family, but in family that you love and you care about, and they break your heart. I know that means. I know how it feels. But here's what I know. God is always good. And God is always right. It may not look good. It may not look right. But God is always good. He's always right. We have a nice double-wide mobile home out yonder in Rosebud, Arkansas. And it's got real brick underpinning around it. Not that fake kind. It's got the real kind. You weed eat up next to it. And listen to me. I just love it. I tell you, My middle son, he is a child evangelist. He is at the church we belong to is Franklin Road Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. They have an apartment they own, and they let my Don and I stay in there the rest of the year when camp not going on, and we're traveling in and out of there, and we stay in Arkansas quite a bit because her mother there. But David has these inflatables for junior kids, and they blow them up. He's got about six of them, and they blow those things up and just let those kids have a big time. They're trying to break the all-time record today. I don't know if they broke it yet or not. And the Sunday I was there about 5 years ago, they broke the record over 2,500. I don't know if they went over 2,600 today, but none of them let me know. But David is also a master plumber. And so in between some of his kids' meetings, he helps. And we got him in our mobile home and in the bathroom that's right off our bedroom, he took out literally a plastic garden tub, and he took that thing out and he put in there a jacuzzi. I told my boys, you can't call me trailer trash no more. Trailer trash don't have no jacuzzi. And but the Lord has helped me. Let me share one thing with you, and I'll close tonight. You've been kind to me. Thank you. Brother Jenkins, thank you for honoring me, but letting me preach here. I consider honor. My Donna, after my illness, I have what they call motion-triggered seizures. So I have to be careful to take seizure medication if I'm riding in a car for a while or riding an airplane. So she took me and to Little Rock for my first trip to Little Rock after my illness, and we didn't know, but the motion of that 55-mile ride caused me to have a terrible, horrible seizure with effects that we had not seen before. And So I don't tell this little story just everywhere. If I've been to a place before and I feel like people are kind-hearted and thinking, I tell this little story. But I don't tell it just everywhere, but Lord, impress my heart. I need to tell it tonight. Somebody need to hear it. I don't know who it is, but somebody did. So she took me to emergency room of a hospital I'd not been before. And they tried to contact my doctor. All of my hospitalization had been up in that little town of Heber Springs. They had a country hospital there. I had a country doctor. They couldn't reach him by phone. They couldn't get a hold of him. And so they were trying to treat me, and I was in a terrible mess. And they asked my Donna to leave the room, and a doctor came in, and I did not know what a psychologist was, but that's what he was. A psychologist had come in the room. Now, there's some of them that know the Lord and love the Lord, and they try to use their position to reach people for the Lord. I've got a dear friend that's a psychologist that uses the abilities God has given him to reach people wonderfully for God. But if one doesn't believe in God, it's a difficult thing. And this man came in. Now, let me tell you a couple of the questions, just a couple that he asked me. And let me tell you a reason I gave answer gave. One of them, questions he asked me, did I think about going to heaven much? And I said, oh boy, I sure do. Now, don't ever tell a psychiatrist that you think about going to heaven. If one ever asks you, just tell them, oh, I'd like it, but I'm no hurry. They think you want to get up a load right now. And then he asked me this question. Now, let me tell you what happened 2 days before I go to hospital. All of my Bible study, I couldn't read or write. I had to relearn how to read or write. So if I got any Bible study, my daughter read it to me, my kids read it to me, or I listened to the Bible on tape. I had the Bible on tape, good old King James Bible, and I'd listen to it by the hour. And I had just listened about 2 days before this trip to that time where Jesus talking about going to the cross. Peter's trying to talk him out of it, and Jesus said unto him, "Get thou behind me, what? Satan." Exactly. This psychiatrist man asked me, "Do you ever talk to the devil?" And I said, "I sure do. I tell him, get behind me now every day." Now, you know how I meant it. But he thought I'd really gone bonkers then. Well, I tell you, the most devastating, emotionally difficult thing for me was when that man locked me up in the mental ward of that hospital that night. Now, I realize now, and another psychologist realized a little bit later, that a mistake had been made. But I want you to know that time I in there, they wouldn't let my Donna come see me. Now, I know why now. If they think a patient is severely depressed and maybe psychotic, they do not let family visit at first because they don't know if family is feeding the problem or maybe part of the problem. I know that now, but I didn't know it then. And when they cut me off from my Donna, they cutting me off from my physical lifeline. God and my Donna were my life. And I remember one day I came out of my room, and I wasn't in straight jacket or something like that, but I was locked in my little room in a pod. Everybody had their own little room, and I came out, and the nurse said to me, "Number so-and-so," she called me by a number, not my name. Now, I've known and learned since then, they will now sometimes use first name, but they never use whole name because another patient might get it and use it. But I didn't know then. All I knew was I was called a number. I walked back in my room and I sat down in the corner and I began to cry. I said, "God, I'm not even a name now, I'm just a number." I want to tell you something. God has never spoken to me in audible voice. God has never done anything like that. And I don't claim anything like that, but it just seemed to my heart when I was sitting there in the corner crying, that it was like God saying, "John, I know your name and I know it real good. I know who you are." Well, I finally got a chaplain come see me, and I told him why I gave answers, and he said, "Well, you don't belong here." And he said, "I'm going to get a Christian psychologist in this hospital come see you." And I said, "I wish you would." And he went up and down the corridor of that hospital with that doctor while he making his rounds and pleaded with that man to come talk to me until finally the man said, "I'll go see him for 5 minutes." He came in and I told him why I'd given answers to those and other questions that I gave. Oh, he said, "Sir, a terrible mistake has been made and I'm going to get you out of here." And they were getting me ready to be dismissed from this ward. And I just talked to my Donna on the phone at earlier time. And my Donna had about all she could take. She'd come into the hospital. She wasn't armed, but buddy, she dangerous. She's going to get me out of there. But by the time she got there, they had already processed me. And I walked through two sets of double doors, and as they closed behind me and locked, oh, it just sent a chill up my back. And I thanked God And when I got through that last set of double doors, guess who waiting on me? My Donna. She hugged me and said, let's go home. I said, let's go home. Let's do it. Now let me tell you something in there. The devil tried to get me to say God not a good God. I told him he a liar, God is good. I didn't tell anybody in there I'd tell him that. I done learned that. But I'm telling you, sometimes the devil will try to get you down and say, God isn't good, or he wouldn't let this happen. God isn't right. But I want you to know the devil a liar and God's word true. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I know this. God wants to help you through it. I'm not going to promise you God will heal you of every ailment you got tonight. I'm not going to promise you he'll fill your bank account with money. I do not know how God's going to work in your life. But I know this. God will work if you'll surrender to him. Maybe there's somebody here tonight you're not saved. This is a good crowd. I can't see very good past a few rows, but it looks to me like a lot of people here, Brother Jenkins. I'm proud of you having this many people on Sunday night. That's good, son. Now, let me tell you something. I would doubt that this number of people could be together and there not be somebody in that group that doesn't know Christ as Savior. If you don't know for sure you're going to heaven when you die, why don't you come make sure of it tonight? I tell you one thing I know. I don't have to go to hell. I know Jesus Christ. I accept that shed blood that he gave on the cross of Calvary when they drove those nails through his hands and his feet. He shed that blood for me. When that blood poured down his face, it was for me and for you. And if you've never accepted him personally and say, Lord Jesus, save me, now's the time to do it. Now's the time. You that are saved, what about church membership? What about the holy ordinance of baptism? Have you openly, unashamedly, publicly identified with Jesus Christ through baptism? Listen to me. What a shame it would be to turn God down when he asks you to do something after all he's done for you. Maybe some of you need to come tonight and say, preacher, I need to follow Jesus in baptism. I've just never done that since I've been saved, and I want to do it. Not just sprinkled, but deep water baptism, where you're put under and raised back up to show that you're walking in newness of life with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you need to come. And I tell you, through every trial God has brought this, it's true. Through every trial God has brought it, he's brought me a little closer to him. And I thank him for it. You know what would be good? If some of you come forward, and I think there's place up here where you could pray, or you could kneel here across these front pews, but that'd be a good place for people to come. An old-fashioned altar, and just say, God, I love you, I love you, I love you. Help me stay closer to you. Let me tell you something. Young person, I heard constant screaming from one room. That's about all I'd hear. I need to get quiet for 2 or 3 hours, and then it'd start back up again. And I did get to ask the nurse about that. I said, why the screaming? And the nurse told me, she said, that person is a young man that took a drug one time. Him and his girlfriend and his buddy got a new drug they'd never tried before. They went out one night and they all took that drug. It didn't bother the other two like it did this young man, but it destroyed his mind. She said, I believe to me 3 times, just one time is all he took. And the only time he's quiet is when we go in there and administer a sedative. And the rest of the time, he screams like an animal. Let me tell you something. The devil would let somebody use a drug 20 times just to get you to use it once to destroy you. God's mighty good. Why don't you come and say, I'll serve him with all my life, all my heart. If you need a church home and this is where God wants you, you ought to come. Pastor, would you come up here to the front right now? Musicians, will you come to your place? We're going to give what we call invitation. And this invitation is opportunity for people to obey God, whatever God's spoken to your heart about. Now, some of you, Pastor, probably know you well enough, you just need to come and pray. But whatever the need is, I want you to do what God says. And if you want preacher to pray with you and for you, I'm going to have the dear song leader, after I pray, begin to sing whatever song they've chosen for invitation. And I want you to step out and come right when we begin, right after we close a prayer. Dear Lord, please, now I ask you right now, your will be done. God, I believe I've said what you told me to say. It wasn't easy. Lord, when I visit some of those dark times, it still weighs on my heart some. Now, Lord, please, I pray if there's somebody here lost, I pray they get saved. Lord, if there's some saved people here that need to join this church, I pray they'd come and do it. If there's some people that have gotten saved but they've never publicly identified with Jesus in the waters of baptism, I pray they'd come. Lord, you're so good to us. Don't let us turn you down. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Let's stand with heads bowed as our brother begins to sing. Next verse, come on, please do what God said. I don't believe I missed the target, what God told me to say. I don't believe it. Would you do it? Would you do it? I know there's some of you out there better Christian than I am. You love the Lord. You've been walking with God a long time. I know that. Does some young Christian need you to come and pray? Some person need to see you walk down this aisle and get on your knees and talk to God. If he does, why don't you do it? Oh, what a blessed thing it is when people obey the Lord in invitation time. You know, there's always a struggle goes on in invitation, isn't there? Always a battle. Sing that next verse, brother. I still believe others need it.
Is nobody knows what's going to be ahead of them in life.
That's right.
Here's a man who's had thing after thing after thing after thing. And he just wants to get up and say, God is good. He is good tonight, folks. He's a good God. No doubt about it. I'm going to tell you something. We've met with the Lord tonight. This man has the power of God on him. I want more of it. Could it be that he took all these drives? I don't know. Brother Bob, I want you to have him sit right here. We're going to bring his wife up. I think it'd be appropriate for us to call a special prayer for him. this pain, Paul. I'd like for his wife to come and be with him. I want our men. I want however many men feel like you'd want to do this. Maybe some of our deacons, our staff men. I just want to come and gather around him. Pray for him. God's been good to us. Here's a man who just come to give a report. In the midst of it all, God still on the throne. God's still good. And he is. Amen. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Amen. I believe it'd be appropriate for me, and it's not because of who I am, you understand, but I just feel led as the pastor to lead in this prayer. I'm going to come down and put my hands upon him. And I want these men, many of you who can, you can be seated just for a moment. I want many of you can, if you want to get on your knees right there around him. We're going to pray for him. This will be our closing prayer. Let's get a hold of God. You know, it's amazing with something like I preached on this morning that God's interested in helping me find my wedding ring. Don't you think he's interested in helping him with this pain? Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father God, we love you tonight. We rejoice in who you are. I thank you for Brother Bishop. Father, what a blessing he's been. Lord, how you've touched him. Pray for his dear wife, God. Thank you for her faithfulness to him, to you, down through the years. And we pray for him for this upcoming Friday. With this pain pump that they're going to insert in him, I pray, our Father, as they insert it, that your hands will take over. And I pray that you help it to be effective. May you ease his pain, touch his body. God, would you touch him tonight? It's obvious that your power's upon this man. Lord, I feel blessed just to be praying for him. And I pray that you'll touch him now. Guide the doctors. Give them wisdom to make the right decisions. And Lord, if anything needs to change, I pray you'll change it. May you make the decisions through all of this. May the will of God be done. And Lord, I pray that you'll give him the grace, as you've already given him, just to keep on preaching that God is good. God is always right. Help us, Lord, to take this home with us. Drive it in our hearts. Be with us, I beg of you now. Please help him. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing this together. God is so good. God is so good. These children from Vacation Bible School. I want to meet you right here in this section just for a few moments. We'll get you out of here, okay? Let's all stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer. And as soon as I say amen, if you're going to help us with VBS follow-up, please come straight forward. Everybody else, you can go back. I hope you'll go by and shake his hand. He's a blessing, isn't he? Praise the Lord for him, no doubt about it. Let's pray. Father, bless us now as we go our separate ways. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. If you're coming this direction, please come quickly.